The next case on the court's calendar is, and forgive me if I mispronounce, Kazuo Okada versus Wynn Resorts, a real party in interest, Elaine Wynn and Stephen Wynn, case number 68310. Would you identify the folks that are with you at council table?
Yes, Your Honor.
And begin with your argument, and I should have asked Mr. Bice to do that in the previous argument, but if he'll do so for this argument, I'd appreciate it. So go ahead, sir.
With me at council table are Adam Miller, Steve Peek, and Bob Cassidy.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Mr. Chief Justice, Associate Justices, and Judges, good morning. I want to first begin by thanking the court for permitting me to appear pro hoc vice on behalf of my client, Kazuo Okada. May it please the court. We are here today seeking writ relief because the district court rejected a rule of this court and guiding legal principles in ordering an unprecedented 10-day deposition of Mr. Okada, a Japanese citizen, to occur in Las Vegas. Plain and simply, the district court applied the wrong legal rules without any explanation whatsoever in resolving Mr. Okada's motion for a protective order. First, the court flat out rejected new Civil Rule 30D1, which establishes a presumption that the depositions conducted after March 1, 2014 are limited to one day of 7 hours. And here's what the district court said in permitting the 10-day deposition notice of Wynn. The one-day rule hasn't applied in my court since it passed. I've suspended it in every case. It's like, can I just suspend all your new rules? This was a flagrant rejection of the governing legal rules, and it is plain legal error. As to location of the deposition, the district court simply created a standard that is contrary to prevailing jurisprudence across the country. She applied what she called her general rule, which imposes a presumption that defendants must be deposed in Nevada, no matter whether they're out of state or out of the country. That's the presumption that the district court applied. That would make Nevada an outlier to jurisprudence across the country, which applies the opposite presumption, that foreign defendants should be deposed at their residence or principal place of business. And the reason for that is because they don't choose the forum. They are involuntary participants in the litigation. Of course, district courts must have, and they do have, discretion. They have discretion to resolve issues regarding my client's deposition. We don't argue with that at all. But whenever the law gives a court discretion to decide matters, it also supplies principles to guide that discretion. And without consistent principles, decisions are little more than arbitrary. That's what this court held in the Allianz case, in the Franklin case. When a court disregards the correct legal principles, by definition, it abuses its discretion. That is what happened here. This court, as Mr. Chief Justice observed with regard to the location issue in the last argument, this court has not addressed either one of the presumptions, the presumption under 30D1 that a deposition shall be limited to one day or 7 hours, and the presumption that a foreign defendant shall be deposed at his residence or his principal place of business. These issues, therefore, are novel, and they are important to Nevada jurisprudence, and they are appropriate for writ relief. Writ review is also appropriate here because the district court's discovery order is likely to cause irreparable harm that no later appeal can correct. That's the situation we have for Mr. Okada.
What irreparable harm will it cause?
What it will cause, Your Honor, is he will have to come to this, to Nevada, for not just 10 days, but 3 weeks, away from his home, his business, his family, in a country where he does not speak the language. That's not a 10-day deposition which has never been ruled permitted in any reported case throughout the federal system.
Counselor,
or in any state
system. Can you back up there just a second?
Yes.
You said where he doesn't speak the language. Are all counsel fluent in his language? Are going to be asking him questions?
No, Your Honor. His language, of course, is Japanese.
And are counsel going to be asking him the questions in Japanese?
Through an interpreter.
The point being, either place, the same process is going to happen?
Yes, Your Honor.
And isn't there, I guess, a companion lawsuit that he brought? So
there, it's not, Your Honor.
Not per se companion. A loose use of the term, but another legal activity between these parties.
There was a prior lawsuit. Wynn has referred to it as a coordinated lawsuit for discovery. It was a lawsuit brought while Mr. Okada was a member of the board of Wynn Resorts. It is dormant. It has not been, there has been no activity in that lawsuit for nearly 3 years. That said, it's a different lawsuit by a different plaintiff for a different purpose and should have no bearing upon.
But it does go to what you were asserting as inconvenience of using or being in Nevada. How is one to understand the distance of similarity?
And a fair question, Your Honor. Wynn has made a similar point in its briefs. And has argued that Mr. Okada should not enjoy the privileges of doing business in the state of Nevada. And if he does, as he has by traveling here when he was a member of the Wynn Resorts board, by filing a lawsuit here some years ago, et cetera, then he should be deposed here. What Wynn has wrong, however, is they are confusing personal jurisdiction with the reason, with the factors that go into the location of a deposition. They eschew the fact that the underlying principle for the location of a deposition, again, is that the defendant does not choose the forum.
Counsel, you're here asking us to essentially write a rule regarding this determination. As the Chief indicated earlier, that's pretty much where this is going to come out. What do you recommend? How would you have us state the rule that would apply not just to your client, yes, not just to the respondents, but a rule that could be used by all of the district courts throughout the entire state?
I think that's an excellent question. I think that the issue here, Your Honor, is what are the presumptions that should apply on length of a deposition and on the location of a deposition.
So what should they be?
What they should be, Your Honor, is to apply the correct legal principles. As to the length should be limited to 7 hours or 1 day. Rule 26 permits there to be other factors to be considered, such as translation, such as complexity, such as multiple parties. Of course, that's what Rule 26 says. And under those circumstances, there can be additional time permitted. And we recognize that. And we would suggest that the court look at those principles and direct the district courts to apply those principles.
What's your view of the three-factor test in Moore's federal practice at section 3201B?
I'm sorry, Your Honor.
What is your view of the three-factor test contained in Moore's federal practice?
Our view is that the factors that are identified should be considered by a district court. The district courts have discretion. Mm-hmm. They just need to look at the factors and apply those factors. And that's precisely, Your Honor and Chief Justice, that's precisely what was not done here. And it should be done here. Correct legal principles should, she rejected the presumption under 30D1. District Court rejected the presumption on the location of a foreign defendant, and there should be direction to tell district courts that these are the principles that we apply in this state.
Notwithstanding the suggestion that she, perhaps the district judge made a comment that is now part of our record that she might have not chosen to make had she had reflection that this will provide her with. But the fact of the matter is, in that particular courtroom, 30D1 is almost always going to be subjected to some modification. Would you agree with me?
I would agree, Your Honor, that the complexity of a lawsuit is a relevant factor in determining whether or not there should be an additional time. And I think that is the implication of the court's question, and in recognition that this is the business court. And I'm not trying to say that this case is not an expansive case, an extensive case, or a complicated case. But by any standard, arbitrarily, without any reasoning, any rationale, permitting a 10-day deposition longer than anything that we have found reported in a federal court and rejecting a new rule of this court, that's arbitrary. It does not warrant deference, and it is ripe for writ relief.
Counsel, if I could ask you a question. These deposition cases, as you heard from the previous one, we have some crossover issues. In the Sands China case, it was an issue that Judge Gonzalez wanted the deponent to testify on American territory because of certain legal concerns. That's why she came up with this hybrid ruling about taking it in Hawaii. Was that an issue in this case here where Judge Gonzalez wanted it done in somewhere within United States territory versus in Japan or Hong Kong?
Mm-hmm.
Or did it not matter?
That was not ordered by this court.
Okay.
She did ask about it.
She asked at the end of the hearing whether or not there had been discussion among the parties as to an intermediate location. And there had not been discussion, and I had so advised the court. I see that I have limited time left. I would turn to one other issue, and that is that in terms of writ relief, if this issue is not considered now, there will be undue harm that cannot be corrected because, for the obvious reason that the deposition will have occurred, there is no post-judgment appeal that can remedy this situation for Mr. Okada. That's another reason that writ relief is appropriate here. As to
the issue in every discovery case, though, just about every issue that you raised, I mean, that would always be the issue. There's no post-judgment relief.
I would respectfully disagree, Your Honor. I think that in this situation, we have two clear legal errors. And most discovery disputes do not involve the legal errors that we see here, number one. Number two, most discovery issues can be corrected on post-judgment appeal, for instance, a new trial. So I would respectfully disagree. I see I have a minute and a half left. I'd like to reserve that, if I might, for rebuttal argument.
All right,
thank
Mr.
you.
Mm-hmm.
May it please the Court, Todd Weiss on behalf of Wynn Resorts, Real Party in Interest. It's very hard to argue.
Vice, would you identify your co-counsel?
Mr. Chief Justice, my apologies. With me at council tables, Mr. Pisanelli and Mr. Campbell on behalf of Stephen Wynn. And behind us is Mr. Shapiro, also on behalf of Wynn Resorts. Ms. Spinelli from my office on behalf of Wynn Resorts. Kim Sinatra, General Counsel of Wynn Resorts. And Mr. Erga is here on behalf of Elaine Wynn. Thank you, Your Honor.
You're handling the argument for all of the parties?
Thank you. Yes, I am handling the argument for all. I apologize.
It's okay.
Mr. Chief Justice.
Just want to make sure that the other parties are agreeing.
It's hard to separate this argument from the deposition in Jacobs, and I acknowledge that. It's hard for me to do it because you need to understand, because there have been some comments made that are directed at the district court judge, that the district court is ignoring rules, making up her own rules, and just wholesale thumbing her nose, essentially, at this court's rule.
Well, without getting into all of that,
yes,
could we just stick with what the law is or
yes.
ought to be?
Yes.
And the question here, at least on the surface, mm-hmm. is that a judge who is sitting in one of the busiest dockets in the state, handling a business court docket that is largely and primarily complex cases, is confronted with a discovery rule that was adopted by this court after extensive discussion with the bar, but leaves open the question of whether a deposition's location should be presumptively where the deponent is, and whether and under what circumstances the court should adjust the deposition's location and duration and other arrangements so that that order is potentially reviewable by the Court of Appeals or, on rarer circumstances, this court. So the question is, what do you think the law is or ought to be? Should there be guidance for this judge and future judges to apply factors to decide where these depositions are taken? And is there a difference between parties and witnesses?
The answer to your question is, at this juncture, is there a difference between parties and witnesses? Yes, there is a difference between parties and witnesses, in my view. Is there a lot of need for this court, however, to set forth a hard and fast rule? I don't think it's possible to set forth a hard and fast rule, so I really do not think that is workable. And the reason that I started by saying I think it's very difficult to argue these two cases separately is because I think that the district court in the Turnbull deposition articulated the factors quite well, and they're set out in the order. And that order preceded this one. So, yes, I understand that there's been some criticism made of the district court in the Okada order that all those same sort of factors and highlights weren't laid out in detail in the order. And the district court made some observations that I think, when taken in proper context about what we all know as practitioners in the 8th Judicial District Court practicing before the five business court judges, respectfully, the district court in this case is not wrong. Almost always, the lawyers in, which is probably 90% of my practice, and my firm's practice is in the five business court departments in the 8th Judicial District, that seven-hour rule is never enforced, mostly by agreement of counsel. And if one counsel tries to enforce it, I've never had a circumstance where the district judge would say, here, the facts aren't sufficient. Now, normally, if you're dealing with small players in the dispute, the 7 hours is more than sufficient. But when you're dealing with the principal player in the dispute, which is Mr. Okada, I can assure you that the defendants or my opponents here will not be taking the position that Stephen Wynn will sit for one day of 7 hours. You can take that to the bank, because that will not be their position.
Mr. Vice, if that is the case, they're not enforcing that rule, then, as was asked at the beginning, what rule should we have in place so that we have a level playing field for the parties on both sides to understand what the court is in fact going to consider?
I think that the case law does, in the federal cases, lays out sometimes five, sometimes approximately seven factors. And I think, and that was briefed to the district court, and while the court can say that those factors weren't highlighted out in the order so that you could conduct a review of those particular factors if you wanted to, they certainly were in the Jacobs order. And I believe that they were really the underlying underpinnings of the Okada order. And I think that the record shows that. Yes, the district court did not lay them out in the Okada order like they were laid out in the Jacobs order, but at the end of the day, I believe that they are all there, and I don't believe that the district court's decision can be labeled arbitrary on that on the record here in Okada, and I'll just touch on why. Let's deal with the timing issue. The timing issue of 7 hours, even my opponents concede it doesn't apply here. Their offer was 3 days with Mr. Okada. They proposed to multiply the rule times 3. Now, our point, and I would submit what they were doing, was we had proposed 10, and I submit even they don't believe that 3 is reasonable. They were trying, I would submit, they were trying to create a high-low, hoping that the district court would pick something more in the middle. But the district court recognized, because she has experience in this case, because of a prior deposition with this witness, and I will tell you, I doubt that 10 days will prove sufficient for Mr. Okada. I think that the district judge has given him a big incentive in the last paragraph of her order that if the conduct that occurred during the first deposition continues, you will not be able to claim burden or prejudice by having to continue past that 10-day window. Same warning is issued to us in that order. If you do not conduct yourselves efficiently, and if you waste your time, Mr. Okada will be free to come back to me and shorten the window.
Aren't you saying that we shouldn't intervene? Isn't that what you're saying?
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Leave it to let the deposition start in a, whatever location it's going to start in, and then use the district court judge as a discovery commissioner rather than the seven of us as a super discovery commissioner.
Justice Cherry, this was my point, and I don't mean this disrespectfully. I really don't. I understand. This court has a very hard job, and I have tremendous respect for this institution. But what I do have a problem with is the stays of depositions harm the litigants. They harm the party that has been stayed because they give the other side a huge advantage, especially when you're talking about a deposition like Mr. Okada's. Because Mr. Okada has now been able to hide behind that stay and undertake his own activities without the risk of deposition that had been previously noticed by us and timely noticed by us. So we are prejudiced when a stay like that issues. And that's where we have a problem with this. I understand that the court wants to give the district court some guidance on these points. But to prejudice one side of the case in order to give that guidance, I think, is where we have a real issue. The stay wasn't even sought in this court, and it was issued without any notice or opportunity by us to be heard on that.
You know, this state's been to this rodeo before in MGM, in insurance, right. MGM Fire, Hilton Fire, Mission Subrogation case, the Pepcom case. And over the years, and some of the people in this courtroom participated with me as special master, maybe we lack good deposition planning in the business court. With the five judges, maybe we need somebody to be the discovery commissioner and have discovery committees where they sit down and they say, you know what, 10's too much, 3's not enough, let's go for 6, and then maybe reach compromises without having to go to even Judge Gonzalez or any of the business court judges, and especially not coming to us. Because mom and pop, who's waiting for us to make a decision on a PI case that was tried in 2013, has to wait while we do these cases on extraordinary writs.
And we have to wait. Wynn Resorts is being forced to wait, as is Mr. Wynn and Mrs. Wynn, being forced to wait to depose what is, with all due respect, the central figure in this dispute. And we're being forced to await that while other discovery is ongoing. But my point here, Justice Cherry, I don't believe that we need to have another apparatus in the business court, because I will tell you why. This district court judge, like the other business court judges, we hold monthly status conferences on these cases. In the Jacobs Okada case, we hold biweekly, or the Jacobs Sands case, we hold biweekly status conferences with the court. The court is beyond hands-on in these big cases, supervising them, making sure that they are moving forward. The district courts have an intimate knowledge of what is going on and what needs to be done to move the case forward and allow the parties to get the case to trial. Discovery is, by definition, something that you're going to have to give the district courts a wide berth on. And I understand the rule about 1 day, 7 hours. And, yes, I did speak against the rule and its application in business court. And, the court nonetheless imposed the rule. But the district judge here, with respect to Mr. Okada, of all people, and that first deposition, of which she's intimately familiar, We took the unprecedented approach of lodging part of the video transcript or the videotape with you for the record so that you, if you wanted to, see what the district court knows. You can look firsthand at that deposition. There, to get maybe 20 questions answered with all the interpreters going back and forth and Mr. Okada's evasiveness, it's going to take days and days and days. And the district court knows that. And if, in fact, he can demonstrate after the fact that we are not being efficient and that we are being harassing, she said to us in the order, he can come back and shorten the time up.
So, Mr. Bice, you want us to exercise a hands-off approach. You feel that there is adequate federal authority, that we have adequate rule and case law authority, and you believe that the judge who is hearing the case, and particularly a business court judge who is hands-on, as you described, is in a better position to decide when and how these depositions should be taken.
I think that's absolutely right, and I think if you just look at the factors that the federal courts are applying, I think you will see that the district court here in both the Jacobs and in the Okada case really applied those factors. Yes, it's true that the order doesn't articulate that as well in the Okada matter. That is true. But at the end of the day, I think that those factors are applied, and applied fairly. Because
we still waive 16-1 in complex litigation, so
we normally
to waive a seven-hour, one-day rule in complex litigation doesn't offend me at all.
And we almost,
it doesn't sound like it offends the other side, too, if they were willing to do 3 days versus 10 days.
We almost always do it. Except there will be witnesses where that's an exception, right? And the parties will normally agree. If it's a small player in the case, well, there's no, I mean, 1 day and 7 hours is probably adequate. But let me turn now to the location issue, because I think that is important as well. And location is significant in both of these because of foreign law concerns. I think that the word that's being trumpeted here about presumption is a bit too strong, because I agree there is a presumption under the time limits of one day, 7 hours, because it's spelled out in the rules. And it says that that's what it is unless the district court finds otherwise. But you'll notice in your rules and in the federal rules, there is no limitation on location. There is no rule that says here's where they're going to occur unless the district court makes a contrary finding, which is what one would think if it were in fact a presumption. And I think that the district court, federal district decisions that say it's not really a presumption, it's sort of a rule of decision, are probably right about that. And what they're saying is, under Rule 1, the district court is responsible for moving the case forward, having a timely and efficient resolution of all litigation. That's what it is charged with doing. Yes, all else being the same, of course you should depose a witness where their principal place of business is. That's going to be the most efficient for doing so. But there are going to be a myriad of reasons why, in particular cases, that is not true. And that's exactly what we're dealing with here. Mr. Okada's proposal is an odd one. He doesn't live in Japan. He lives in Hong Kong. But he wants to go to Japan for one reason and one reason only, I submit. Japan has extraordinary sovereignty limitations upon the taking of deposition on Japanese soil. And the federal district judges, and they're cited in our brief, have laid out in detail the extraordinary limitations upon discovery. And Japan is one of the most often cited jurisdictions where the federal district judges have said those Japanese citizens are going to have to come to the United States.
Right? Mr. Bice, let me ask you this, and going back to the other case, because I thought about this in preparing today for both cases. What if Judge Gonzalez had said, because of that reason, okay, Mr. Okada's deposition will be in Guam or Saipan, U.S. territory, 3 hours from Tokyo. Does she have a right to do that, like the Hawaii situation in the previous case?
She does have the right to do that, but I would submit she didn't do that. And had she asked us for briefing on that, we would have certainly articulated why that would not be appropriate in this case. And it does relate somewhat to what the Chief Justice's question to me at the beginning was: is there a bit of a difference between someone who is just purely a witness as opposed to really a party, a real partisan in the case?
So then both sides would have filed writs. We would have had both of you file the writs.
Exactly.
We would have definitely been the super discovery.
Exactly,
commission.
Justice Sherry, then we'd both be. But let me, in the minute that I've got left, let me talk about this location issue, because it is significant. In both cases, the point is that there are foreign law concerns that place serious restrictions. And both sides, and when I say both sides, both the parties being deposed could claim the protections of those foreign laws, even though the case is in the United States and subject to the U.S. discovery rules. And the district court, it has to be, with all due respect to this court, it has to be within a district judge's discretion to say, I'm going to direct this deposition to occur on U.S. soil for the purposes of avoiding all of those concerns, avoiding those sovereignty concerns, and making sure that I can supervise these depositions, which are, quite frankly, the district court has a lengthy history in the case and knows that they have not been the most efficient all the way around. That being the case, the standard of review is, could a reasonable judge conclude, based upon what they know, that this is the place to hold that deposition? And the answer is yes. And Mr. Okada is a party, so the deposition should unquestionably be in Nevada. He's a Nevada gaming licensee.
So what would your argument have been, Mr. Bice, if the judge had said, no, I think you all ought to go to Japan and be subjected to the discovery protocol in that country?
Mr. Chief Justice, I actually did not hear the start of your question.
So what would your position be if the judge had said, no, I think you should conduct this deposition in Japan under the protocol of the Japanese government?
I would be disappointed in that ruling because I don't believe that would be right. But if you're asking me, does the district court have the power to do that, provided that there was a reason for doing it? Yes.
So in this instance, Nevada residents who are participants in the lawsuit under that ruling would be prejudiced, would they not?
They would be prejudiced, but they certainly would not be irreparably harmed.
I guess the question is whether that prejudice is reviewable, as is the prejudice Mr. Okada claims.
I think that that prejudice is reviewable. Does it warrant a stay of Wynn Resorts' rights? I think that's where we have a real disagreement, Your Honor.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chief Justice.
All right. Thank you.
Just briefly, I have about a minute and a half left. Regarding length, clearly Wynn wants no limits at all, wants no rules to be directed to the district courts. I mentioned the one-day presumption in 30D1, and of course it can be related to case-specific factors as articulated in Rule 26. But in that case, the district court should be instructed to keep depositions as short as reasonably possible. That should be the rule. That's where the federal courts have gone from 1993 forward. That's what this court adopted a year ago, that less is better. There are any number of cases around the federal system that involve just as complex, just as many parties, many translation issues, and they don't get anywhere close to the 10 days that Wynn wants here. The rule, and the clearly what's underlying this, the amendment, is less is better. We don't want prolonged depositions.
Counsel, my concern is what Mr. Bice said, though. You're dealing here with interpreters going back and forth, maybe terminology, different understandings that a Japanese citizen would have from a U.S. citizen. It's going to take longer. I mean, it's just no question. So how do we be fair to both sides in any type of ruling here? What's your suggestion?
Absolutely. My suggestion is simply this. 10 days is, no matter whether there's a translation issue or not, is excessive. The cases in the federal courts on translation issues, they allow double the time. The 1 day, 7 hour, 2 days. That's what the federal case, and they've been at it for 22 years. And
I think another factor here, though, is the problems associated with the deposition in the books and records case. And the obstructions that appear to exist during the course of the deposition. Shouldn't the trial judge in Nevada want to take control of resolving those disputes with a deposition here rather than having to deal with it under a protocol in Japan?
Absolutely.
And wouldn't those depositions take less time if people followed the rules as to when they could properly object and not properly object?
Absolutely, Your Honor. And I know I'm over, but if I could just respond to the court's, there are several parts of that question. One, what Mr. Bice has ignored here, and they've ignored in the pleadings, is that we always offered Hong Kong as the location. In everything that we have filed, we've always offered Hong Kong or Japan. So it's a red herring to suggest that we only want to hide behind the protocol in Japan. Not so. Second, as to translation issues and as to supervision, I would note, as we have in our brief, that 8 o'clock in the morning in Asia is 4 o'clock in the afternoon in Las Vegas, or 5 o'clock, depending upon whether you're in Hong Kong or Tokyo. Perfectly able, therefore, to have a conference call with the court and address the issues that may come up or have come up. I'm not saying it's not as cumbersome. That would just be wrong. But can it be done? Absolutely. And as to the books and records deposition, that was Wynn's interpreter that was the problem. That interpreter was thrown out midstream, by the way. Second, we have a protocol now, Your Honor, which we will all follow. And so I think that the translation issue has been way overblown. Third, as to obstructionist tactics, that's the by counsel for Okada, which is the allegation by Wynn. All I can say, Your Honor, is I wasn't there. And
all I can say is I took a deposition in American Samoa and had to buy a lava lava to go to that court in order to fight the opposition I was facing. I think you run over your time.
Thank you. Sorry.
This matter will stand submitted.